Indeed. Let us get to work here. Thank you, Uncle Ted, for bringing us into this edition of Article 5 Live, coming to you from somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona, from the radio bunker of that formerly great state. Thanks for joining us once again on this Sunday evening. I'm JD, your host. This is Article 5 Live. This is nothing new about the New World Order. You know, in the subtitle of tonight's broadcast, we're talking about the massive deception of Marxism and how it started 170 years ago or so. And welcome, Leona. And hey, you guys do me a favor, because I'm one short one outlet. Somebody share this live broadcast in the group Article 5, Friends of Article 5, if you would, because it's not streaming live to that group now. And if somebody that would like to go ahead and, you know, share this with the group, I'd appreciate that, because it's not streaming live to Friends of Article 5 right now. Anyway, we're talking about Marxism. We're talking about the New World Order. We're talking about totalitarianism. And what does that mean for us here in America today? And how does that relate to what's happening today? We're gonna let that speak for itself. The Crypt Keeper, or more appropriately, the Chairman Biden, is being propped up and kept alive by various different modern medical methods. He is a former shell of the shill that he used to be. Thanks, Leona. And Joe Biden has never been a brain trust, but throughout his 50-year career in politics, he used to be able to talk. He would think fairly quickly on his feet. He didn't have any trouble enunciating or expressing a sentence. He had trouble with the truth all of his career. There's no question about that. He also had trouble with original ideas. Well, he's a well-known plagiarist and, you know, just a parroter of other people's ideas and ideals. But Mr. Biden has never been a stuttering, stammering, doddering, apparent some form of dementia-ridden figure in the past until recent years, very recent years. So to call him the Crypt Keeper, I guess, is incorrect. The people that prop him up are the Crypt Keepers, I guess, you know. So reason I mentioned Chairman Biden is because he's not long for the chairmanship. And I had a lengthy discussion with a good friend of this program, Mr. James Copeland, on the telephone earlier today, which I wish I could find my telephone right now. I have temporarily misplaced it. We'll try to find it later on when I play a video. I'll go look for it again. Maybe we get some calls or something later on. But anyway, when I was talking to James Copeland, he had very strong thoughts that when they remove Chairman Biden and replace Chairman Biden with Chairman Harris, that she will be her own chairman and not a puppet. He seems to think that she is not going to be easily pushed around by her bosses. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that she will do whatever they ask, because she will be so enthralled with the chairmanship that she will absolutely do what they say. But time will tell, and not much time, because Chairman Biden will not be in that position very much longer. I believe he will be removed. Well, there's probably a fight going on up above in their realm about that. There's probably the more radicals want the radical Harris in, and the old codgers that want to consolidate the power toward their wing of the communist cabal want to keep Biden. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But the message here is to those Republicans, like, unfortunately, James Copeland, my good friend, think it's going to be, oh, well, shucks. We lost this one because Donald Trump didn't convince enough people to vote for him, or there was too many mail-in ballots, and, you know, we'll get them next time, by golly. Well, I think that that's a foolhardy place to think that we are, because with the election of Donald Trump, the rebellion of the average individual against the deep state establishment, they are not taking that very well. As you can see now, the entire country's locked down under a scamdemic. And there are people thinking are rushing to the doctor to or wherever to get the jab, because they think if they get the jab enough times, then maybe they can have their normal life back. The only problem with that is it's going the opposite direction. Not only are they saying that, yes, you have to go get the jab in order to be able to do anything, fly, travel, et cetera, it's all coming, but they're admitting that the jab won't stop the spread and it won't prevent you from getting the CCPV. So why these people think that getting a gene therapy causing a human being to be a genetically modified organism, we won't even eat that stuff, but yet they want to, you know, they want us to take the injection. How that's going to, and when they say it's not even going to alter the curve. See, none of this stuff makes sense. People, I don't understand how people can even think that they're going to get their life back by doing that. That's not going to happen, you guys. The hammer's coming down. And it's all about economics. It's all about 100 times leverage in the world money supply and resetting that back to normal. That's what all this is about. It has absolutely nothing to do. The CCPV is the vehicle, the fear of the CCPV is the vehicle in which they are going to make us submit to the reset, the great reset. We're going to do some videos here that'll talk about this in some great detail later in the broadcast. But I did want to mention that all the things that are troubling us who are patriots, they are all tied together. You see, the CCPV reaction, the CCPV jab, the mail-in ballots, all these things are tied together, and it's all meant to take us to a place we don't want to go if they were to tell us the truth about what they are trying to accomplish. Klaus Schwab, the creator of the World Economic Forum, also known as Davos, laid all this out since the early 1970s. This is not something out of the conspiracy theorist handbook. This is something they have told us they are going to do. the central bankers, the International Monetary Fund, the people that are in control of all this stuff, have inflated the world's money 100 times over. And if that margin is called, they are there with their pants down. So they're going to try to implement a new system without letting you know that's what they're doing. So that's why they're still trying to prop the dollar up while they're bringing in the new system. And hopefully you won't notice what's going on. It's really crazy what's going on and what they're doing to us. Now, all of this is tied together. There's none of the things, the nonsense that happened November the 3rd and the weeks after, the nonsense that has been happening for an entire year. An entire year they have been scaring the crap out of good people. Good, smart, wonderful people have fallen for the toilet paper shortage et al. I don't have the answer, because when you have such a majority of individuals around the world that have bought into the fear of a ghost, how are you going to fix that? I wish I could sit here and have good news for you. We have hope. We're going to take the Senate and the House back, and everything's going to be good, fine, hunky-dory in the future. We'll get them next time, us good Republicans. No, that's not the answer. And, you know, lately I've been leaning towards third party and all that. You know what? That crap ain't going to work either. The only thing that works is for you, who think I'm full of crap, to wake the hell up right now. Stop complying. Stop complying. Now the 2-3 masks aren't enough. 5 masks aren't enough. Now it's the anal swab that has to go at least 2 inches up the rectum and twirl it 10 times. This is, if you think I'm joking, that's coming your way. Because they're tired of us truth tellers telling you the PCR test is not able to quantify virus count. Yet this is the test that is the predominant test for coming up with all these numbers of positive cases. None other than Tony Robbins, who is regarded to be politically neutral, has come out with the truth about the CCPV scam. If you look at the amount of deaths, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, they're all within 10,000 of each other. And so, of particular interest, look at the 2.4 million, I believe it is, the figure, roughly, of deaths in 2019 versus the 2.4 million deaths in 2020. Why aren't there 500,000 more deaths in the United States? Why isn't that 2.9 million? Because after all, don't you know, we've had over 400,000 people die from CCPV. Or have we? Isn't it amazing that no one's dying of the flu? Isn't it amazing that no one's dying of pneumonia, stroke, heart attack, cancer? All these deaths are way, 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 way down. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what is going on here. Although, we have genius level people that believe in the new religion, the CCPV reaction religion. who want to run out, they will run you over for the opportunity to get an injection that will alter their DNA, that they're calling a V when it's actually genetic therapy, which will cause your cells to produce a protein that it would never do naturally. All this in a response to one of 200 viruses that cause the common cold that has been chimerically altered in a lab somewhere in China with money from the NIH, the check signed by Anthony Fauci for around $300 million in the year 2015 because he was found to be doing this research in North Carolina at a university, and somebody pointed out, hey, this is illegal. It's against the Geneva Convention and the treaty and the chemical weapons or the biological weapons treaty. Oh, yeah, I guess we better move that over to Wuhan, which is what they did. So when China says that, well, you guys are the one that came up with it, it's your fault about the CCPV. That's only a half. That's half truth and half lie. Actually, there is responsibility. Our own people are the ones that were doing the research originally and shipped it over there, along with lots of money to keep it going. So, all that being said, I want to stop right here and say this may be, you know, anytime I come on these platforms, it may be the last time I'm allowed on. They could end me, cut me off anytime. Considering I was one of the people that went to Washington, D.C. For the speech and the rally on the 6th of January, who knows whether I'll be institutionalized for that or not. Many people have been. They threatened to do that to anybody who went there. This is the country we live in now, the formerly semi-free country of the United States of America is now under martial law, basically. We have radicals in control of the government in every way. So I want to just say that if I happen to disappear, I hope some of you that have been listening to me for many years would look into why and perhaps maybe even try to help me out if need be, you know, because, hey, I don't know how to fight the feds if they come after me just for being there. Never went in. I want to know if there's any, if you guys think, you can tell me in the comments since I don't have my phone handy. If you think there's any way we can smarten up enough people. See, here's why I'm pessimistic. Let me just get into this for a little bit. In order for us to turn this thing around, what we have to do is get busy at the local level. We have to get involved with our city politics, our county politics, our state districts, where we have representatives and senators in our states, our counties. We have to be involved at that level, that really granular level. And that means that everybody that cares about America needs to get involved with that and take control of the government at the local level so that we can affect the change that needs to be affected in time before we start the 2022 primary election cycle. There's a couple problems with that. Nobody's willing to do that. Very few people are willing to do that. And the other problem is that time. Because even if we had the people willing to do that, it takes time to figure out how to do it, how to be effective. And so what I fear will happen is not enough people will be able to affect change at the local level. And when the 2022 primary election cycle happens, we're not going to get any real people in there. We're going to get phony Maronis like we always do. Anybody that is a constitutional conservative that runs in the primary will not get the party support. And that's a big problem. Because you're just going to get the more of the same that caused us to get where we are today. The exception to that was when we as a people elected Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. He was an outsider. That is why the effort to get him out was relentless for an entire, actually, before he was in office, they were trying to get rid of him. And it never stopped. And they ended up being able to cause people to believe he lost the election. Even my good friend James Copeland believes that it was the mail-in ballots alone that caused the demise of the Trump administration. And I think that was only part of it. I think it was all the above. Every single form of a way of election shenanigans was done and done effectively and exponentially greater than any other election in history. And so just focusing on the mail-in aspect isn't going to cut it, because even if we stop that, they have five or six other ways they're going to do it next time. So back to what I was getting at, I am pessimistic because I don't believe people are willing to do what it takes to affect the change on a local level before the primary of 2022 in all the counties, the cities, everywhere. Because we have to do it at a real grassroots in a local area. Hell, I don't even know if I'm willing to do it. So if I'm not, you know, and I'm pretty active politically, that gives me the barometer of how many people I think are willing to get involved at the level we all need to be involved. I don't think it's going to happen. So therefore, I believe that meaningful elections in the United States of America are a thing of the past. With one exception, what could possibly happen is Chairman Biden and the rest of the Communist Party that has taken over the United States of America are evil and very greedy, and they will overreach. They have already overreached. They might overreach to the point that those that are Democrats might have their own sensibilities offended by their own party. This is about the only thing that's going to save America. It's not, you know, because even good people on our side, even if we were willing to do what it takes, how many of us actually know what the hell to do? I fear not nearly enough of those people know how to be active, how to take control of your local parties, how to effect change in the Republican Party to where we can get genuine constitutional people in office. I think it's a stretch to think that's going to happen. So our only way to save the idea of what the United States of America is supposed to be, ironically, depends on the conscience of Democrats. You know, these can be people we disagree with policy-wise on damn near everything. But they still could save the nation by limiting the power of the people that have gone mad and want to, you know, make all of us subservient to a world government, which is what's going on right now. And if you don't believe me, wait till you get the swab up your butt, because that's coming. That's absolutely coming your way. And they won't stop there. So I wish I had better prognostication for you. History has shown that the only time in American history that people were willing to do the right thing to the degree needed was the American Revolution. Most people are opposed to the American Revolution. Most people want to be left alone and have their lives left alone. That's what people are. That people all do not like confrontation. So even if they can't abide by what's going on in their government, they would rather stay silent and just try to lay low and hope they go to your neighbor's door instead of yours. And that's what people are going to do. And I can't say as I blame people. Who the hell wants to fight? I mean, fighting's no fun. You know, you get the ridicule. You try to go to a grocery store and not wear the symbol of the slave, the mask. And you get the stink eye. You get people attacking you. I had an experience the other day in a grocery store where I'm familiar with my banker. And I told her some things. And the woman there that was a third party to the conversation, attacked me for going to DC and said that I was a domestic terrorist for being there. You know, this attitude is prevalent. Even people, quote unquote, on our side believe that showing up to Capitol on the 6th was, an insurrection. These people do not deserve office. American tradition demands we seek redress of grievances from our government. The previous presidential election had, let's be charitable, many, many irregularities that were not investigated, not heard by a court of law. There was many unconstitutional things that occurred in the several states where they had people who are not constitutionally allowed to change state election laws, changing state election laws. Because why? The CCPV. I don't care. I didn't read anywhere in the Constitution where it says, well, you know, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution says that the state legislature would determine how elections are held in the state. Unless there's a CCP virus that people are scared of and they don't want to come out of their houses. In that case, you can mail ballots to everyone and just count them however you want without any oversight. Show me that in the Constitution, okay? Not there, obviously. So this was all done in our face. The purpose of doing it in our face with impunity is to make us want to take up arms against the government, which is a mistake. Because those of us on this side are not organized enough to even figure out how to politically take over our neighborhood, let alone wrest power from the evil cabal that owns all the military power in this nation. So the quickest way to get slaughtered is to try and take up arms against Chairman Biden and company. So that's not a solution. That is what they want. They hope that we will be so pissed off at all the events of the past year that we'll be willing to show up armed. Absolutely wrong. No one should do it. You shouldn't even do what we've always done before, go to state capitals, all wearing our regalia and our, you know, demonstrating our Second Amendment privileges and whatnot. Privileges. See, notice that? They even got me programmed. That should not happen. We have to beat them at their own game. This is the only way out. Now, I'm going to shift gears a little bit and tie in the recent activity in the market where the short squeeze, as they're calling it, has cost hedge funds billions upon billions of dollars. See, it's okay for these guys to all gather together and borrow shares to buy that don't exist so they can utterly crash a company and therefore, sell shares that don't exist and buy them back at a super low price to gain all that money. Now, you know, a short trade in and of itself is, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is short targeting a company and short selling 140% of the stock in that one company. Those people who did that should be in jail. Now, furthermore, the Robinhood shutting down trading because the common man figured out the hedge fund operators' game and wanted to come to the rescue of the hedge fund operators, shutting down trading on certain stocks so to mitigate the losses is utterly and absolutely illegal. And the people that do it should be in prison. It's called insider trading. Ask Michael Milken, I think is his name, whether that's legal or not. So the whole point of all this is now that the little guy has figured out what the hedge fund managers are up to, it's not going to stop. And it is a way to get back at them, basically. And it's gonna continue to happen. And they're going to have a hard time stopping it. Because now the average person is aware of what a short sell is. Now everybody knows what a short squeeze is. And how and when and why they're occurring on individual stocks and whatnot. So this is all kind of a little bit of a glimmer of hope, because what I said before of taking these people on and beating them at their own game, as they try to cripple the middle class and make sure you never get ahead, we're now finding ways to fight back if you don't mind losing a few $1,000s, because it's risky to do something like that. You can band together with these people and fight the illegal shorting of certain stocks, brick and mortar American companies such as GameStop, AMC, and the list of eight. As the hedge fund operators, conspire to drive these companies out of existence and profit on it while they do it, and then take over that business for their own, we can drive the price of that stock up. Then sell. And that is where the 1,000 times leverage gets all these guys in trouble, because they don't really have all the money. It's just on paper. Now, it's a dangerous game, because if enough of it happens, we're looking at a stock market crash, none other than like the crash of 1929. And because the rules of Sarbanes-Oxley have slowly but surely been eroded from the trading and stock market platforms. So now this 1,000-time leverage stuff is allowed. It shouldn't be, to be honest with you. But, you know, if they're allowed to do it, why not the little guy? But to not get too far into the weeds, beating him at their own game financially might be, you know, and then living well in their face. Living well is the best revenge. No matter what they do to us, if we enjoy our lives, if we play music, if we assemble together and love each other and be human rather than obeying the dehumanization that is coming down from the medical tyranny that is now running the world, living well is the best revenge. Do not obey the medical tyranny that now all over the world is being rejected. Even Emmanuel Macron has said, you know, we're not going along with this crap anymore. It's not right. The third or fourth largest pharma, big pharma company, Merck. As you probably know, people that listen to this broadcast are aware of a lot of things, but it has to be said anyways. They came out and said a few days ago, we're pulling back all of our money on CPB virus research vaccine things, and we're going to stop the research, and they say you're better off and it's safer to contract the virus and develop your own immunity. You're better off doing that. Than you are pursuing this injection. So, you know, Pfizer and Moderna are the only ones that are playing the game. Merck decided, nah, we're going to let these people get criminally charged for the deaths because, as you know, they have civil immunity. These companies are immune. If you are damaged by their jab, you can't sue in a civil court. But when they have people taking the jab and dying hours later, they have police departments looking into that stuff. And there is no criminal immunity to these quote-unquote VACCINE developers. Like I said before, it's not a VACCINE. It is genetic therapy. The typical way a traditional VACCINE works is they put an attenuated pathogen and some adjuvants. Adjuvants are things that irritate your immune system and cause them to react quicker. They put those in a shot. They give you the shot, and the theory is the body's immune system will react and develop antibodies towards that, you know, that was injected into them and therefore get some measure of immunity from that pathogen. That's the theory. This is not what this is. What they're giving people is a thing that will cause you to create a protein that will attack certain things that are associated with the CCPV. But the genetic alteration is permanent, and it'll make every cell in your body do this. This is a totally different approach that has killed every animal that's been jabbed with it. This is why when the trials were going on, they precluded animal trials because they couldn't have that publicity, could they now? So those of you that are lining up and will run over your neighbor to get your jab first, you know, God bless you. I'm glad you believe in the new COVID religion, but you really ought to look past the standard news delivery on these things and seek out all the thousands of PhDs that have tried to warn the world about this that have been completely censored except a few places, and you know what the places are. The unmentionable places, you know, London Real, 79 days of hell or whatever it is.com. You know where I'm talking about. This is the places, people with their own platforms that have spent tens of millions of dollars to not be reliable on Amazon servers and other, and have their own satellites, still have this information available because they haven't been able to take them off the internet yet. That's coming. So if you want the truth, you better get it while you can. We're gonna play some of that here in a little bit while I look for my phone. And I certainly hope that many people awake, because I'm not gonna give up. Even though it looks bad and it looks like it's unwinnable, because even the people on our side, A, aren't willing, and B, aren't knowledgeable enough to do what needs to be done in order to fight all of this. We're still going to fight. We're not giving up. Because it is true. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. We are meant. We are meant to have free will and to be able to choose the right path in our lives. And if we allow tyrant human beings to rule over us, that's a mistake. Now, when I talked to James Copeland earlier today, and he was proud of the fact that he finally was able to receive his dose. My immediate reaction to him telling me that is, I'm sorry to hear that. Because he is of advanced age. He is a cancer survivor. He has a wonderful mind. He has a wealth of information. He is a political historian. And I hope he is able to survive the onslaught of what he has allowed them to put in his body. It is really, really serious for people to do their research before they allow this to happen to them or their children. The news from around the world is more and more restrictions, less and less compliance, less and less people think this is a good idea. The numbers. Where are the deaths? Where are the 400,000 deaths? Hello? Are they under the desk like the weapons of mass destruction of the Bush era? I don't know where the deaths are. Nobody else does either. They're not there. I'll tell you where the deaths are. They're from every other thing that kills people every year. They just changed the cause of death. Now, that's not to say the CCP virus doesn't exist. It does exist, in my opinion. There's plenty of smart people who think that doesn't even exist, but I'm not in that camp. So you have that. And also, it exists, but what the problem is the lethality is minuscule. Even if you're above 80, the reason you're going to die isn't the CCPV in many cases. It's because, yeah, you might have the CCP virus and it might hurt you in recovering from whatever your other ailments are, because if you're 80 plus years old, you're probably, there's something wrong with you. But I'm just going to say this. The jab is more likely to kill you than the virus, for sure, if you're an aged person. And this brings me into another devious goal of these bastards. The censorship part of the three boxes. You guys know about the three boxes. You got the soap box. Well, they take that away by censoring us. Then you have the ballot box. Well, they take that away by various different means. That leaves us with our last box, which we don't want to open because it costs too much. in lives. And that is the ultimate thing that we'd like to save. So we don't want to go there. So the devious, you know, AJ always says this, don't project your kindness on the people in control of all this tyranny. And that's the mistake we do because we're all decent people and we like to think people are decent. They wouldn't do the evil shit that they're doing. But they are doing it. And you need to quit projecting your kindness on the people in control of all the levers of power in this world. They aren't kind. They're devious rat bastards who want a lot of us, if not most of us, dead. That is their goal. Along that line, I want to make a comment about older people. Our elderly are cherished resources. Vast amounts of knowledge of history and how things ought to be and the way things were, the real story we can only get from our older folks that have lived through that and are able to tell and keep things alive through telling us how it was. This is vital for the continuation of a free republic. So the biggest target of all this medical tyranny is our old people. That's why they're rushing this CCP, V-A-C-C-I-N-E, in quotes, to all the elderly first. They want the old people dead for very many reasons. First of all, they have knowledge of what this country used to be, how it used to be, and they can tell, they can teach young people what they ought to be doing. Got to eliminate that. The other reason is old people have a lot of maladies. And maladies are expensive for a state-run medical institution to take care of. So, you know, after you get a certain age, they don't want to pay for your health care. Now, they're ultimately going to make all health care, the responsibility of the government. So they got to get rid of these old people because, you know, that's expensive. Don't you know? Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, said, you know, hey, stupid Americans, we can't have these old people, you know, sucking up all these resources. We need to, you know, the health care of one 85-year-old could, you know, hire 20 teachers. We can't have that. So they need to get rid of the old people. This jab is a great way to do that. It's going to kill. You watch. In the next few years, if there's some way to get the truth out about all this, I have my doubts about that as well. But as we go forward, you're going to find out that this jab is going to kill way more people than the CCP-5V ever did. These people are evil. If you don't believe me, go read what they want to do in the Club of Rome and in the, you know, Eugenics Society and all the other globalist organizations that are in control. Bill Gates is in control of a lot of governments through this medical tyranny. Dr. Bill Gates, you're a doctor. If you don't know his background and his, you know, the legacy of the Gates family, I suggest you find that information. I'll tell you what. It'll be a miracle if I stay on these platforms very much longer, but I'm trying to be careful with all the abbreviations so I don't, the AI doesn't pick up on everything I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of reasons I'm doing it. So let's go to a video here that I'd like you to listen to from our friends over at BDV. You can't even say that stuff anymore. But I would like to let's see. Which one are we going to do first here? Let's go with this one. We're going to share this one. This picture you're going to see is Mr. Klaus Schwab. And he is the guy who started the World Economic Forum, I believe, in 1971. And he is truly an evil man. And I hope you are willing to keep an open mind. Many of you don't like the source of these videos, but let me just tell you. You really need to realize that there's very few people that are willing to tell the truth, and those that are don't have their own platform, so then they are silenced. So this is one of the last places you can actually get the truth. So here is a little ditty about our buddy, Klaus Schwab. Now, let's see. That's not going to do it. So I got to go here.
At the age of 33, Klaus Schwab, a business professor at the University of Geneva, founded the World Economic Forum in 1971, originally known as the European Management Forum. Nicknamed Davos after its annual meeting place, the World Economic Forum meets every January with hundreds of members of business, politics, banking, education, and industry to, quote, improve the state of the world. Their globalist agenda is openly admitted and well documented. United Nations Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, Build Back Better, are all the same globalist agenda, and all stem from the Club of Rome and the eugenics movement. Davos claims to be looking to save the planet, and the UN claim that in 10 years, they will end all hunger and poverty on Earth. They admit that the technologies required to achieve these goals do not exist, and yet their solution is to bring the world to zero emissions in only 10 years. They want to end the automobile and aviation industries in only 10 years. This is why the Keystone Pipeline was halted on day one by globalist puppet Joe Biden. Klaus Schwab says that industries which involve human interaction will not survive.
But we know that many industries which rely particularly on physical interaction will have difficulties to survive.
As if the destruction of an entire functioning society will inspire solutions to all of our problems, thereby bringing about an environmental utopia where there is no hunger and all the world is at peace. As absurd as this all sounds, we know the sheep will accept it as gospel. They already have. When the WHO was caught faking a hoax 10 years ago, the media reported it, but nobody cared. It was a beta test. Now, the media ignores overwhelming evidence that COVID-19... They go along with every contradiction and lie, and their audience obediently accepts it all as truth. The COVID crisis will be used to imprison the population, whether it be in camps or their own home. It is already happening. Humanity is being imprisoned by psychopaths who see themselves as our saviors. Order out of chaos. The New World Order is nothing other than the decrepit Old World Order desperately clinging to power. And their solution is to destroy the free market, to destroy the concept of freedom, privacy, and private property, and to foment enough chaos and destruction to depopulate the earth into a manageable level of serfs and slaves, so they can continue on with the same old scams they've been running for millennia. This is why Joe Biden signed a dozen executive orders, paving the way to opening the borders and shutting down the economy. The New World Order cannot coexist with American civil liberties. And now that the populist movement has been discarded, the destruction of America from within can commence again. If the people of the world continue to comply to these unelected sycophants, then the people will get what they deserve. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
So, my good friends, many of you may not like hearing all that. You may think that that's inappropriate and that those people are in Greg Reese's report makes a lot of assumptions. Let me tell you, I've been watching this stuff for a long time. And we've been lied to for decades. And now that Chairman Biden has residency in our most cherished position in our republic, there is a chance that we will not recover from this, and that 10 years from now will be something sort of like Venezuela. That's where they're gonna take us there if we allow it. And like I stated before early in the broadcast, what needs to be done in order to prevent that? People on our side are A, not willing to put forth the effort because they don't believe it's that serious. And B, if they do believe it's that serious, most of us don't even know what in the hell to do about it. You know, I'd love to be wrong. Just like I would love being wrong about all the Q nonsense. You know, I would have loved just be able to come on air and say, you know what? I apologize to all you people that were reading the 8chan boards and, you know, coming up with all that stuff. Let me just tell you something. There's many good people that believed a lot of stuff about what was supposed to happen. That swear up and down, hey, I'm not a Q follower. But the problem is, everything they were espousing was coming from Q, filtered through many different other sources. So they didn't think they were following Q, but yet it was still coming from Q ultimately. So that is sad. It's true. And, you know, those that are holding out hope that some magic is going to happen on March 4th, I'll give you this much. There are some irregularities that are going on right now in our government that are unprecedented. One of them is the irrational fear, apparent fear, irrational, of, you know, oh, evil Trump supporters are going to rush the Capitol. So now we got to build a permanent wall around the Capitol, and we have to permanently have troops installed in our nation's seat of government for the first time since 1814. That is highly irregular and irrational. There are certain things about the way the Pentagon is being uncooperative with Chairman Biden and company. More so than the normal resistance to a new regime. It's rather odd. It's really odd to see an entire unit of National Guard turn their backs on a president's motorcade. It's odd to see Marines not salute a supposed president. there are another, you know, more lists of things that are very odd. Now, if the Q folks are right, who are still alive and well, saying they're not Q folks, many of them, that there's some magic going to happen in March. You know, I hope you're right. I don't see it, but I hope you're right. That'd be wonderful. I'll love to come on here and say, wow, I was wrong about that. There really is some, you know, going on in behind the scenes that we don't know about. I will give you this. I think there is a kind of a war going on to those patriots in our government that do not want this to happen to our great nation. And they're resisting in every way they know how and can, resisting Chairman Biden's power grabs. I think that is happening, but who knows what will come out of that, if anything, you know, probably nothing. Probably they'll, you know, they'll get fired, kicked out, and they'll put worse people in. Just like they're doing with the police. You know, all the decent people that are police officers are not willing to be abused or not willing to obey unconstitutional dictates from their bosses, so they're quitting. And what are they getting replaced by? They're getting replaced by people that are leftists, that are for, you know, anarchist takeover or destruction, the Cloward and Piven destruction of the American Republic, you know, top down, bottom up, inside out stuff. Read Saul A. Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, which he rightly dedicated to Lucifer. So they're going to purge all the good cops and replace them with people that will be willing to arrest you unconstitutionally. They're trying to do the same thing to the military. They want to purge patriots out of the military and replace them with people who are willing to violate their oath. Very, very distressing. This is why the flag is upside down. My listener on Periscope. The things I'm talking about are why I've hung the flag upside down in the studio. The nation is in dire distress. And I want people to realize that. You know, Leona says, this is one of my greatest contributors to our group, Friends of Article 5, and just a great contributor to Facebook. Leona Hawksworth says, Trump said the best is yet to come. Well, Trump is forever the optimist. Trump will never give up. He will never give in. That's why he created the office of the former president. President Trump will probably try to run again for president. But, you know, I stated early my pessimism about that because I believe that since they were able to steal the highest office in the known universe and do it in our face and brag about it, do you think they're actually going to back off from that on the next election? No. The scale always goes exponentially worse. And a totalitarian regime such as what we have in the United States of America today is just getting off the ground in the rocket ship analogy. As it accelerates, you will watch every one of our God-given rights be impinged upon by this government. That's what you're going to see. And they're going to try and force us into an armed conflict, which I hope and I pray you're not going to see, because we will not win that. We're not organized. Well, I hope you guys that think we haven't lost the election system are correct. I really do. If I'm still around and I'm still able to speak freely, when that comes, I will for certain say, you know what? You guys were right and I was wrong. We're not going to become Venezuela. We're going to take the republic back and we're going to rebuild it and we're going to reinstitute the constitution as the rule of law and the rule of the supreme law of the land in the United States of America. You know, I would love to see that happen, but they don't give a shit about the constitution. They won't even use it for toilet paper. They don't have enough respect for the constitution to use it for toilet paper. These are the people that are in control of our lives right now, and we've allowed it by being inactive and unwilling to be activists. So this is why I have pessimism. We don't know how to combat this, and it has to be done at the grassroots because the top of the party of the Republicans is utterly corrupt. At least half of the Republicans are absolutely worthless to downright traitorous criminals. Another half of the remaining half are scared, you know, whatless. And there might be about a quarter of the Republicans that are worth re-putting into office. So what we have to have is a massive replacement of incumbents in the Republic. An office. That means we have to get organized and cause this to happen in the primaries. You know, we have a little under a year to make that happen. You really think that's going to happen? How many people do you know are willing to get off your ass and cause that to happen in your neighborhood? I don't know too many. They'll all sit there and agree with what I just said. It needs to be done, but who's actually going to do it? Who's actually going to put their family at risk? Who's actually going to sacrifice time and money to make it happen? Who actually is in a position to be able to sacrifice time and money? You know, everybody's worried about how they're going to put food in their kids' mouth and keep a shelter over everybody. Those that have shelter still after this COVID nonsense, most people don't even have, you know, not most people. There's many people that are out in the street from it. So how are we going to take that ragtag group of patriots and replace all the known operators in the Republican Party? I don't know the answer. I'd love for us to be able to do that. And I know a little bit about all this stuff, and I don't know exactly what to do. I know I should be a precinct committee member, and I know I should get involved in my county politics and my city council and every way I can get involved, a school board, everything that you can do, you should be involved with that if you have any way to do it. We get enough people to do that. And we do it in time for 2022. Now, here's a positive note. I'm going to switch up on you a little bit and get a little bit optimistic. Not only will the left overreach and piss off their own side, which is already happening, but they might actually screw things up to the point where enough people go to the polls and change things. My friends, I told you we needed a Theodore Roosevelt type turnout to overcome the fraud. Remember me saying that? Those of you who listened to me for years knows that I was saying, listen, we need a Theodore Roosevelt style turnout. That's 93% of the electorate needed to show up. We got, in many cases, 75% to show up, which is phenomenal. Not enough. As you can see what they did, they were able to take it. Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you guys can check me on this, but Theodore Roosevelt had the largest percentage of turnout ever as president of the United States. And I think it was 93%. That's what I was calling on everybody to do. Everybody that's registered to vote, get your ass to the polls, vote in person. We, in many places, we had 75% turnout. which is unbelievably good because it's usually around 63-65% for a presidential election on a good year. So there was a lot of people awake. And just think of what happened. I mean, we had boat parades, tens of thousands of boats, Trump flags flying, everybody having a great time celebrating our great president. Think of the interstate caravans, 100 miles long. New York State had a 90-mile Trump caravan. New York State. This was going on all the time. All over the world, Japan, Australia, they're having Trump rallies. This has never happened in our whole history. So the world loved Donald Trump as president of the United States. These rat bastards took that away from everybody. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because even countries abroad are saying, what the hell's the matter with America? If you guys go down, we're sunk. We've always been the hope of free people in all nations. And now they see us fall and stumble. Maybe they can help us. I don't know. I'm not, you know, that's above my pay grade. But I know that that phenomenon exists. And everybody across the world loved our president. And they still love Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is, he's not a quitter. So that's the positive. We have a warrior in Trump. He's not going to lay down. You know, something might happen to him. You know, he's not exactly a young man. He doesn't exactly take that great a care of himself. I hope, you know, he's got supernatural powers as it is. I hope they continue. You know, I don't know anybody that could have done what he did in the last 4 or 5 years. That's unbelievable what this man was able to do. Just think, an absolute in-shape athlete as the prime of his life couldn't keep up with Donald Trump in the last 5 years. I'll guarantee you that's true. But then that takes a toll on a person too. Our president needs to, you know, take a break. Not for too long. We need you, Donald. Get your ass back out there and show these people, show everybody you're still around on our side, because we can't allow the Mitt Romneys and the Susan Collins and the Lindsey Grahams of the world and even the McCarthys and certainly not the Mitch McConnells have control of our party. This cannot be allowed. These people have to be extricated from our party. We absolutely need to get rid of these criminals that have ruined our republic with their compromised positions. You know, we've talked about all the different ways these people are compromised. And we have to get rid of them. Now, you guys are wonderful. You put up with me all these years. I got to tell you that my good friend James has pretty much talked me into going back on the radio. I'm going to be, look, I have a station in mind. I'm going to, you know, send them some demos and things and see if we can't get analog AM and FM radio once again, because, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be even allowed to have my meager 2,000 or 3,000 person reach that I get from, you know, the digital platforms. You know, because I catch their attention and then I'm, you know, they cut me off. And, you know, Twitter's been shadow banning me for 5 years. You know how they are. The only reason I haven't closed my Twitter account is because, you know, I need every listener I can get. And the 2 or 3 that come on live every week from Twitter are on the wrong side of a history. And we want to reach those people. We want them to hear our message. We don't want to belittle these people that might be persuadable that are on the wrong side of history here. So I leave those, because I have limited reach, I leave those open. So, Leona, God bless you for all the years you've been really spreading. This lady, I got to tell you, she is a workhorse. She's constantly putting great information out all over the... I know, I get it all, so I know she's doing that to thousands of pages and things. So God bless you for all your effort, and you've been such a stalwart. I mean it. I mean, it's people like you that give me hope that we might be able to somehow save this republic. So just keep it up, will you please? I mean, sometimes it's irritating your phone go off. I mean, my phone goes off 12, 10, 15 times a day, and it's from Leona. she's absolutely great. So anyway, if we could all do that, they wouldn't stand a chance, you know, but not, you know, most of us don't have the time. You know, we have other things we have to do. But so before we run out of time, I may go 2 hours tonight. I don't know. I may go 2 hours tonight because, like I said before, I have a limited. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this. So while I got your attention, I just might go 2 hours tonight. I don't know. Let's see. Now, here's a message from our friend AJ about what's next to Short. See if some of you guys agree with this. I'm gonna share this video with you and see what you think about this. I need to all right. Share screen. Let's see. This is kind of a long one, so bear with me on this, but you might enjoy it. Let's give it a rip here.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a literal silver bullet to slay the globalist werewolf, the globalist gargoyle. I'm about to lay out the silver bullet. If you think GameStop has brought the corrupt Wall Street hyenas to their knees, wait until you hear about this.
Wall Street screws over the little guy routinely on a daily basis, and then when they screw up big time, guess what? We're too big to fail, and the little guy bails them out. We've seen it happen again and again, and it's maddening.
We are seeing a phenomenon that I have never seen, and that is the phenomenon of the Wall Street bets people, and they have ganged up, and arguably it's allowed by free speech purposes, to center on a few stocks, GameStop. Right now, an astounding 144% of GameStop shares have been sold short. Oh, that's far more than there is. That's not right. Its shares can't be borrowed. When you can't find shares to borrow, your broker will close out your short position, which is how something like GameStop could tack on 27% today. The thing is, this is not a regular short squeeze. We have a ton of enthusiastic young buyers in this market. They love to get behind stocks and flood all the social media sites with recommendations.
There are a lot of tears being felt throughout the business that you made your living in. And I'm curious to get your reaction to this notion of this uprising, a revolt, if you will, against the hedge fund community.
Why I did a $12 billion hedge fund implode basically overnight, because a lot of people saw that 130%, you know, of all shares were in a short position. Like when we have that kind of leverage and reckless investing from, you know, hedge funds, and people see that and take advantage of that. That's what the free market is.
All of this nonsense, all of this noise, all of this whining by Wall Street, it's making 140% of GameStop was short. I didn't hear one person on TV complaining about Wall Street trying to crush GameStop. 140% short. I told my subscribers, buy this stock, and they made a fortune.
So they create an environment of free money.
I love that, man.
Anymore.
Not this guy. This guy's a demon.
We have an administration that is spending money like drunken sailors.
Because of the power of the internet, it just shows you, it levels the playing field, it really does, and it can really cause massive pain for the traditional financial structure where they think they have the access to all the information and the monopoly on how trading goes, and look what happens when it gets reversed. It can get very ugly very fast.
I understand what's going on in the market. This is not going to end well when it ends. And the bigger question is, when does it end? I don't think it ends soon, but I think it will end, and it will end very badly for the public.
This isn't just a traditional kind of pump and dump, which I feel like a lot of people on your network are characterizing it as. I think it's a much broader socioeconomic movement. And a lot of these traders on Wall Street Bets, quite frankly, don't care whether or not they make or lose money.
There are, frankly, as you know, a lot of angry customers out there and a lot of questions about what took place and the decisions that you made to limit so many of your customers' ability to buy stocks like GameStop. Questions about whether you have a liquidity problem, whether you're trying to protect them from themselves, whether Citadel did this. Explain what happened today.
Hedge funds are getting smoked. Billionaires are getting smoked. So we're no longer going to let you trade on certain stocks, GMC, AMC, NOC. We're just shutting it off. You can't buy those stocks anymore. You can only sell them. We are going to crash those stocks so all our hedge fund billionaire friends can get out and not get killed. It is one of the most remarkable, illegal, shocking robberies in the history, in plain sight.
We made the decision in the morning to limit the buying of about 13 securities on our platform. So to be clear, customers could still sell those securities if they had positions in them. And they could also trade in the thousands of other securities on our platform. So it was a difficult decision, and that's what we had to do as part of normal operations.
Yeah, normal operations. Yeah, right.
To short 75% of a stock, and nobody says anything, crush these companies into the dirt, and then when the individual investor makes money, everyone's up in arms. Oh, if they're going to lose their shirt, don't you think people are trading? If they traded 80 billion shares today, people are ringing the register. I have a kid who bought a house. He made $50,000 and bought a house.
The reason the market is doing what it's doing is people are sitting at home getting the checks from the government, okay? And this fair share is a bullshit concept. It's just a way of attacking wealthy people, and, you know...
Shut up, demon.
We all got to work together and pull together.
Yeah, gang up on the little guy. Us big guys got to gang up on the little guy.
Predatory short selling is the basis of the modern stock market in the last 50 years.
Yeah, you know, sort of.
1929... was something similar, but the banks cut off credit for 10 years to consolidate power and to take control of most of the land and businesses in the United States.
Mm.
So since stock markets got invented in England over 500 years ago, this has been a routine scam run by the elites to consolidate power and control. That's how the Rothschilds in 1815 bought up 98% of the stock market on pennies on the pound, because they were able to get a messenger pigeons back to fast corvette boats that went across the English Channel from Europe to say that Lord Wellington had lost to Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. Of course, we all know that that was Napoleon's Waterloo. He really lost. But by the way,
that's true.
Putting it out that
what he just said about that is true.
The stock market plunged. They were able to consolidate control. So what we're seeing with GameStop, AMC, and eight other stocks that these predatory hedge funds have been short selling and targeting is the reversal of the roles. And that's why they're so upset. That's why big tech has joined in along with this Robinhood trading platform and these other hedge funds to try to stop trading yesterday. Now, that is insider trading. That's illegal. So now there's criminal investigations of that. There's also criminal investigations of who supposedly had the first idea to prop up this brick and mortar stock. So yes, stock markets have always had a casino aspect to them. But in the 500 plus years of stock markets that started in England, they've gotten more and more and more corrupt. And so you've got valuations of companies, 100 to 1, 200 to 1, what their actual earnings are.
Reddit's the new pigeon, Leona. Reddit, the board that they organized to save GameStop from the hedge fund guys.
These hedge funds that were planning to bankrupt it. If the people on Reddit and on Facebook and across the world ever realize what's happening with silver, and they are realizing it, it's game over for the globalists. They are trading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Usually it's about 200 times the amount of paper silver that there actually is real silver in the world, and they use that to manipulate the price and hold it down anytime it starts going up, because then they can dump limited amounts of their paper silver, and it creates the illusion that silver actually doesn't have value, when really silver is hundreds of times more valued than what it really is.
You
understand? It's a real, tangible commodity that's used in construction, that's used in electronics, that's used in microchips. It's been valued for over 6,000 years. Same thing with gold. So Max Keiser came on my show 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. I'm going to try to get him on next week. And he hammered the point that if people simply start demanding physical delivery of silver in the market with their trades, that it will bankrupt JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, all of them will go down, because the amount that they're leveraged against silver is, again, hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah, but Alex, if we do that, we might have Mad Max. So I don't know that we want to rush into that.
Pop up these 10 stocks, not just GameStop and not just AMC. It's game over as well for the globalists. So it shows they think they're masters of the universe, but they're just these little men behind the curtains. And as soon as people are aware of the scam of the private Federal Reserve, as soon as they're aware of the scam of the Davos Group and Klaus Schwab, as soon as they're aware of the scams of the Great Reset and Operation Lockstep and Event 201 of the Rockefellers and Bill Gates, it's over, ladies and gentlemen. They literally have set up these scams. They admit that this Operation Lockstep, now known as the Great Reset and Build Back Better, is meant to collapse the entire organic Main Street and small town and middle class economies and vertically integrate all of those trillions of dollars of wealth into the big mega banks.
That's absolutely correct.
That's why big tech has basically doubled its profits last year under the lockdown.
That's right.
The lockdown is permanent, because they're forcing the old economy to die and forcing you onto their new economy to consolidate power. And then they use the excuse of, well, it's for the environment, so that's why we've cut the energy off. That's why we're shutting down the pipelines. That's why we're shutting down the travel, because it's good for the earth. No, it's good.
Thanks, Leona. You're the best.
Bankrupt society and a consolidation. This is just a high-tech model of what was done in 1929 in the global crash. Again, silver is the number one target to bring down these criminals and to expose the fact that the whole system's a fraud, because they are leveraging 100, 200, 300, sometimes 400 or 500 times more silver paper in the market to suppress the value of silver, to basically short it, and then make billions and billions of dollars every month doing it. So if that gets exposed, that they're engaged in basically fractional reserve banking manipulation of silver, it's game over. This is the Achilles heel. It's the soft underbelly. It is the kill shot. It is the target politically to expose these criminals. Stop projecting your goodness onto the globalist and on to the top firms in Wall Street.
Yep.
They are predatory. Wall Street in general is great. Stocks are wonderful to promote products and great companies. But the top is predatory. It's been predatory for a long time. And it's seeking to break the social contract and consolidate power where there are no little guys anymore. Well, it's time for us, the little guys, the Lilliputians, to get together and to stand up and say no to this. It is the big banks. It is Wall Street that own big tech. And they are the ones running the Great Reset. This is modern economic warfare against you and your family. And so, all's fair in love and war. This is a peaceful, nonviolent way to fight back. I suggest silver and the other eight big stocks they've been shorting. Everybody should now get involved. I have never traded stock online. I've studied it. I know how it works, but I've stayed out of it because it's so corrupt. But now at this point, as a weapon, I myself am going to get into the stock market today to fight back against these monsters and try to prop up brick and mortar and Main Street companies, to let the globalists know that we're not going to let them impoverish us and bring us into Agenda 2030 and their Great Reset. We are going to build back better by defeating them with our Great Reset against their Great Reset. That is what this is. This is the real Great Awakening, and all of you are part of it.
That's good stuff, you guys. And I don't know if I can get my camera back. I'm going to try to do that. Some reason my camera went away, and I'm not sure why. And I've been trying to get it back. Let me leave the broadcast for a minute. I'm not back. I don't know why my camera shut off. So you're going to have to live with, can you still hear me, Mr. Producer, right now? Let's see. Let's see. I'm trying to find myself. And all right, perhaps you couldn't hear me. Could you not hear me just a little bit ago, Dale? All right. I don't have a camera, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play something that's kind of fun from InfoWars. It's vintage. It's a little video they put together as a montage of kind of old stuff, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. You're gonna like it. I think it'll bring back those of you who've been around a little while to bring back memories of how things used to be. I'm going to share that right now. Oh, let's see this one. Yeah, so check this out, you guys. Yeah, I'm still black. What the heck's going on with that? Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get it. Here we go. We're going to play this right now.
Targets acquired.
Sorry, you Podbean livers is not very enjoyable.
Two, one. America has not been sold out by Americans. America.
That's Alex, looking 20 years younger.
Infowars.com studios. It's Alex Jones.
They're preparing us. They're going to create a crisis. Biological attack is imminent.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Reporter Crime Guide in our newsroom, and there has been an attempt that perhaps you know now on the life of President Kennedy.
The initial attack on the destroyer Maddox on August 2nd was repeated today.
Psychological warfare operations went into high gear.
In retaliation for this unprovoked attack on the high seas, our forces have struck the bases used by the North Vietnamese patrol craft.
It would allow the president to wage war in Vietnam.
Just run and scare.
In 1976, Flight 455, which took off from Venezuela bound for Cuba, suddenly exploded. All 73 passengers and 5 crew members aboard died after the plane crashed near Barbados.
William Colby has been missing since April 27th. His canoe was found washed up on the banks of the Wicomico River April 28th.
He's missing and presumed drowned after an apparent boat.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
That's gospel.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller. What
they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shot.
I understand he was tapped for skull and bones.
tapped for it. Sir, he founded Skull and Bones.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
We have got to fight and stand up. It's not going to be easy. But I'll assure you this. We can, and we will, and we must prevail.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Oh, yes, a little blast from the past there for you from our friends at band.video. I hope you enjoyed that. Now, what I'm trying to do now is figure out where my camera has went. So I think I'm going to leave it at that tonight, you guys. We are a little bit over. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for this multicast on whatever platform that you saw me on, and I want to thank you for all your great comments. We didn't get too much audience participation tonight. I will work on that. We're going to get you guys more involved with the broadcast as time goes on. Like I said, I'm going to try to get my tail back on AM and FM radio, and that will be broadcast on the World Wide Web from whatever radio station I end up on. And that will be in addition to this broadcast, not in lieu of, because I probably won't be able to get the same time frame. But if I do, I will end up broadcasting to all the platforms from the radio station if the new radio show happens to be in the same time as this broadcast. In any case, I want to tell you that your loyal and listenership for all these years is so appreciated. A lot of you guys in several different countries have been listening to this broadcast in one form or another for a long time. I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being there. I want to let you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise and all that good stuff, we're going to be back here next week, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, from the radio bunkers somewhere in Arizona. I'm JD. It's Article 5 Live, the best 90 or so minutes in digital media. Many of you agree with that, and I appreciate everything you do and everything you say on the show. So I want to wish you all the best. Be safe. Stay active. Stay hopeful, even though things look pretty bad. May God bless these United States of America, you and your family. And we'll see you next week on Article 5 Live. God bless.